Glad you could join us today. My name is Daniel Cavanaugh, and I'm here with my dad, Charles. This is Crosstalk, the gospel for today and beyond. We're in pursuit of growing in our understanding of the gospel and discovering what it means to transfer to the next generation. And Dad, we've been continuing in our series here about in regards to leadership, in regards to the qualifications of leaders, and what that biblically looks like in a church. And now we're coming to what I would say is our last little subsession here about the church in regards to the leadership. We want to culminate here with a look at the visionary aspect of church leadership. We started that last week by taking a look at the leader's passion, the leader's example. And now we want to jump right into this week looking at the leader's vision and the leader's investment, or we could say legacy. And this will be our last episode we do on leadership when moving on to other aspects of the church. But just kind of starting off here, you know, what is the leader's vision? I mean, what does it look like for pastors and leaders to have vision?
Well, sometimes it seems like we oversimplify when we focus on just one word or one concept, but I mean, the leader's vision is the gospel. That's why we call it the gospel ministry. And Paul knows that he has just a little time left here with his son in the faith and his son in the ministry, Timothy. He also writes a letter to young Titus. But he knows Timothy's weaknesses. He knows his tendencies. He knows him inside and out pretty much. And so he begins by just exhorting him not to be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. Now, unless you can somehow give somebody a vision for something, unless there's some visionary aspect to what you're saying, you're not going to invite people to be a partaker of afflictions.
There has to be some sense of going on and going forward.
Right. I mean, I don't look at you and say, hey, it's time to purposefully embrace trouble, affliction, pressures. You know, most
which
of us,
is what he's saying to Timothy here. Hey, embrace affliction.
Yeah, be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. That means that our afflictions are a part of the gospel.
Right.
When you embrace the gospel, when you embrace gospel ministry, there are afflictions that go with it.
So I guess it's safe to say that Paul, obviously we know the passion of Paul is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we kick that word around. I think we know that is the work of Jesus Christ in the life of a person to redeem them to salvation, to restore them in right relationship with him so that he is glorified. So we know that. But he's talking to Timothy here, and the vision that he's given is the ministry of the gospel itself. And how that's going to go forward and how that's going to go on. But it's going to be hard. It's going to be tough. You are going to have to embrace affliction. But when you embrace affliction, then we know the end in which we're doing that for.
Yeah.
Which is to see people come to know Christ to full maturity, if you will, in Christ.
Present every man perfect in Christ.
To present them before God as a vessel in honor and glory.
Yeah.
For himself,
Well, and the thing is, this is not, as I said to you earlier, this is not the pep talk of a hero, a dying hero. This is not just a pep talk from a fellow who's about to have his head lopped off. He's trying to get some last ditch effort to make a hurrah statement. This is a man who knows. He says, God's not given us a spirit of fear, just before these verses, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Then he says, be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. So his vision is completely God and Christ and gospel-centered. Mm-hmm. It's not, hey, you know, pull up yourself up by your own bootstraps and suck it up and get it done. It is look to Jesus.
I don't think we know what that means, though. A lot of times when I say we, I mean that in a very general sense. I don't think we really know what that means because we are so caught up in successful ministry.
Mm-hmm.
What is successful ministry like? Right. The big ministries, I think you said it, we have this tendency to follow the, quote, personality cults, even among the Orthodox.
Right.
You know,
conservative.
And I'm not talking about cults in the sense of they don't believe the gospel. These could be good men. But we are so wrapped up in what success looks like, the big conference, the big the money that's coming in.
Sometimes it's just a nice suit.
Yeah, a nice suit, or the book that's written. Yeah, or maybe it's not a nice suit, maybe it's how hip he looks, you know?
Yeah,
and so we're so caught up in this, and maybe he's orthodox, and maybe we're orthodox, but we lose sight of the vision of what we're really trying to accomplish.
Yeah, what is our focus on here? And it's a constant, we have to do a constant gut check, a constant reevaluation. That's not to say these guys are bad guys.
No.
Where's our heart in this? And so, what does Paul say to Timothy? Do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord and of me as prisoner. Later down he says, I'm not ashamed. Yeah. You know, and so the tendency is to shrink back from those affliction aspects of ministry, from those, and from those who aren't as outwardly successful. You look at Paul. Who would say Paul's a success? I mean, he's about to be martyred.
I mean, he did plant a lot of churches.
He did.
But those churches went through a lot of hard times.
Yeah.
Some of them were spiritually deficient.
Became so.
You look at the Corinthian church. I think what we have to say is that the vision is what keeps us going.
Yeah.
So if your vision's weak, if pastor, leader's vision is weak, such in the sense of Paul communicating to Timothy, he knows if Timothy's vision is not weak or not strong, he will be weak. He will not be able to communicate to his people. Yeah. The gospel is our vision because Christ is the center.
Yeah.
And we want people to grow in that. We want people to grow in grace and them to be like, oh, I know why I'm doing this.
Yeah, you got
to
keep your focus.
Oh, yeah. I'm embracing affliction. I'm embracing the unknown because I know where I'm going. I know where this ends.
Yeah.
I don't know how it's going to necessarily work out along the way, but I know how this goes.
Well, it's like I said to you just in a personal conversation just a little bit ago that, you know, we know our destination, but in between us is a field of mud, you know. You know you can get there. You just got to wade through all this mud to get there. And in the ministry and in the Christian life itself, we wade through a lot of stuff. But, you know, Paul told the Christians in the book of Acts, he said, we understand that we're going to come into the kingdom of God through much affliction, through much...
You almost feel like through much like crawling.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost like you're reaching out and trying to get there. But we know from Proverbs, and of course we kick this verse around a lot around here, and that is where there's no vision, the people perish.
Yeah.
And they do perish. You look at churches that are weak. You look at people that are weak,
and
I think you can go back to the leadership and see what their vision is, and is it centered in the person of Christ, and is it centered upon the gospel of Jesus Christ, and if it's not, then their vision is weak and their people are weak.
Yep.
You know, now, are people going to struggle and have hard time? Yes. So I think we have to be careful with that, but at the same time, do our leadership have the vision?
Exactly.
Not only are they men of passion and men of example, but are they men of vision?
Well, I think of, I brought this up before, I won't quote it exactly right, but you know, Christian and Hopeful were going along in Pilgrim's Progress, and they were going through the deep, dark waters, and Hopeful says to Christian, he says, something to the effect, you know, don't quit, or don't be totally discouraged, because I feel the bottom. And it is good. The bottom is our vision.
Yeah.
Our vision is Christ and the gospel.
The foundation.
That's the bottom. Yeah. It doesn't matter how deep and dark the waters are and how hard it is to wade them. On the bottom is the vision of gospel truth and Christ himself as that truth.
So as we look at the last point that we want to look at as far as this whole aspect of leadership in totality here, there's the leadership investment or the legacy that he leaves. No man is going to last forever. And men will be forgotten.
Yeah.
Great men have been forgotten.
Yeah.
I mean, you could probably walk up to many Christians now and ask who Moody is, and they probably couldn't tell you.
Yeah.
They probably couldn't tell you.
Yeah.
Anybody could walk up to, of course, we're still pretty close to Billy Graham, but people will forget about him.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I think I thought of that. You know, in a few years, who would remember Charles Kavanaugh?
Right.
You know, but they... If they remember Jesus and the gospel and they're attached to him, that's all that really matters.
Yep.
The rest, you know, we'll leave to the Lord and to eternity.
So, the things that thou hast heard, he says in this verse, he said, the things that thou hast heard of me, commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also.
Yeah.
That's the investment.
Yeah.
What we have learned, we impart to others.
Right.
I was talking to our missions team at church this past Sunday and was talking to them about how biblical missions is discipling others. And then if we need to, plant a church where they can grow and put leaders in there. But it's discipling others. It's seeing people come to Christ and full maturity in Christ. And when I say full, that means they can turn around and then come train others to walk in obedience, to obey Christ's commands.
Yeah, well, full maturity is growing maturity. It's constant growing,
right.
Constant growth. But, you know, we brought this up in our conversation, and Sinclair Ferguson points out that Paul, it's evident here from Paul's, especially in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 6 and following, it's evident that Paul is speaking in terms of the next generation of gospel ministry. He knows he's not going to be there. He's invested his life in some people. Some have fallen by the wayside. He mentions Demas and some others who have fallen. Okay, fine. They went their thing. They're going doing their thing. But you keep focused. He's invested himself now in Timothy and exhorting him and telling him, be strong. Don't quit. You know, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Perilous times are coming. You know,
right.
Is he a pessimist? No, he just knows that in the whole scheme of things, in this life, these are the things that are coming. You have to invest with that in mind.
Well, I think you can sense, well, we know that Paul can sense that his time is coming to an end.
Yeah.
He says his language speaks to that.
Yeah.
And so I think we have to be asking ourselves, okay, what's the next generation of gospel ministry? What are we doing to have others take up the mantle and carry it on?
Yeah.
Have we left something that will do that? Have we invested in something?
Yeah.
You know? Our time is short, which means we want our investment to bear a return.
And the longer we live, the shorter it is. Yeah. So, as Paul closes his letter, he says to Timothy, come quickly.
Man.
Because he knows.
Right.
This is it. And he says, he wants some personal articles. He wants his coat, and it must have been cold.
Which shows his humanity.
Yeah, yeah. And then he says, but bring the books, and then especially bring the parchments. Now, we don't ever know what he's talking about there. But all of this is a man who's strategizing to the end. He's got vision and investment to the end. Till the sword comes down across his neck. He's thinking in terms of the next generation. He's thinking in terms of the ministry and its perpetuity. And he never says die until he dies.
Well, and he uses a phrase, my time is at hand.
Yeah.
You know, he knows it's coming. But he also is concerned because he uses phrases like the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. And I think that's so true. It's so interesting, even among us evangelicals, when you start actually teaching the Word, and when you teach what the Word actually says, people react, even among evangelicals.
Yeah.
They react. They go, God couldn't be that way. I'm like, look, I'm just telling you like it is in Scripture.
Yeah.
You know?
We have so much trouble. We make excuses for the gospel. Well, yeah, it is radical, but we got to be practical, and we got to be, you know, well, how practical, you know? And how unradical do we have to be? Yeah, that's it. We react to the constraints of the gospel. We know we don't hear anything about Tim because the gospel, the New Testament canon closes. Of course, John later does Revelation in his books. But we don't know what happened with Timothy. As you talked about earlier about, who's going to remember so-and-so. All we know is that Paul invested in him. We know the gospel went forward. We know the church grew, and it kept growing, and it exists to this day as the bride of Christ. And much of that is due to the investment Paul made himself in that early first century.
Yeah, think about the early church when it first began. If it didn't have the men like Paul.
Yeah.
Stephen. Of course, I mean, we know the sovereignty of God, and we know that he works and he raises up men, but he raised them up, and
right. They
followed in obedience, not perfectly, but in obedience.
Yeah.
And I'm asking myself, okay, what am I doing to be faithful to investing in that into the next generation?
Yeah.
What am I doing today? What am I doing tomorrow?
Yeah.
Where's the vision? And I think sometimes it's often in spots that we may not seem it should be. So what I mean by that is we think we should be over here when God's like, oh no, I want you to do it right here.
Yeah.
You know, this is where I have you.
Well, there is a nebulousness to all of this something we can't grasp, but keeps us looking to the Lord,
yeah.
keeps us looking to Christ. And really, if it's left up to us, it will fall. But if we keep a focus on Christ and His purpose, then it will continue. It will not fail.
Amen. Well, unfortunately, we've run out of our time for today. But thank you for joining us. We look forward to being with you next week. Crosstalk is a production of Vision for Living Ministries. This is a free resource, but if you would like to support us, you can do so by visiting visionforliving.org/support. For more information on Vision for Living Ministries, visit our website, where you will find other resources, including our blog. You can also find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/V4L. We would love to hear from you. You can email us at info@visionforliving.org or send us a message on Facebook. Join us next week on Crosstalk, the gospel for today and beyond.